Welcome to the KICC Malawi podcast. We pray that you'll be encouraged with the message today.
May the Lord bless you, and may you accept His word this morning, amen. This word is coming directly to you and not to your neighbor, amen. Amen. Good to see you this morning, the church. It encourages us when we see faces like that. So please be smiling today. No matter what happens, no matter what the Lord brings, please be still and know that He's our God. He's got your back. The battle belongs to Him. There's nothing you can do. It's in His hands. Amen. Amen. Wow. Father, we thank you as well. We glorify you. So thank you for being here. When Jacob had that encounter, after he was running away from his brother, he saw, after sleeping, angels ascending and descending. And he said something profound. He said, "Surely the Lord is in this place." But I didn't know it. Father, you are in this place this morning. And we want to honor you for honoring us. We can't gather and you don't gather with us. We want to thank you for such a privilege. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I don't know where to start, but I thank God. Amen. Whatever is doing, we discuss. Our topic this morning is the fecal matter. Fecal matter. I remember my wife was like, what does this even mean? Like, I don't even have an idea. But I know what the Lord is communicating, and I trust Him for the grace that we can convey and share exactly what the Lord is saying. Amen. When we say that something is fecal, we insinuate and allude that thing is frequently changing. Amen. It's frequently changing, evolving. It doesn't have a state that you can say this is its state. It's like what I was saying the other day, here today, there tomorrow. Like, you can't really predict the nature of that. And somehow, that's the nature of humanity. Say this, and tomorrow they want, they will change. It's always changing, especially in regard to loyalty. So your loyalty could be here and tomorrow, depending on what is happening, you change the pages. We have seen that in the parliament. You always have to play your cards right and see which party is in government. And so you don't want to show too much of your power, because when they have changed, you want to also have, you know, enjoy with that party in government at that time. So our nature is like that as human beings. Amen. But for us to really understand our fecalness this morning, or the fecalness of us as human beings, we really need to take some time and understand our nature as human beings, and also appreciate the human heart, the nature of the human heart. Amen. Because that's where our nature is defined. That's where we are defined. So for us to really understand better what the Lord is speaking to us this morning, we need to spend some time and carefully understand one thing, and that is the heart of man, the nature of your heart. Amen. Amen. Please, the amen should be louder today. Amen. No matter what, I believe it's no matter what. Amen. So when God created us, when God created human beings, He created us in His image. Hello? And He also made us in His likeness. You go to Genesis chapter 1, you read that in verse 26. And He made sure that not the lion, not the mosquito, but human beings are made in His likeness. And He made sure that what He has is deposited in man. And first of all, He made man, the female version of man, and the male version of man at the same time. If you read Genesis 1, verse 26, 27, you see that therefore God created them. He made them male and female before He even formed them in chapter 2. And it was at that time where we were made in His likeness. everything was perfect. We were like that. And you know what happened in the Garden of Eden after our brother and the wife did what they did. Amen.
So sin was introduced, and human nature
became corrupted. And we lost the glory that the Lord had deposited in us.
So that's where everything went south. In Romans chapter 3, verse 23, it says, "For all have sinned and have fallen short of the glory of God." All coming from that sin in the Garden of Eden. So we have all fallen short of the glory of God. What the Lord had actually made us. That's why Jesus had embarked on a mission to save mankind at that time. Amen. And if we go to the book of John, chapter 10, verse 10b, it says, after Jesus speaking about the devil, that he does this or that or that, but Jesus at the end of that chapter, that verse, he says, "But I have come so that they may have," hello, "life." But not only life, but life in one, in abundance, flowing life. In other ways, I have come to restore human nature to the way God created it before the fall. That's the main essence of Jesus. That's the main reason why Jesus came. Anything else we already looked at last week are just additions. And as we're going to be seeing today, we see that still more human beings will still chase after the addition, after those things, the benefits, not the main. In beginning our preaching today, let's open our Bibles to the book of Psalms, Psalms 106 or 7. Now, David, understanding where the Israelites were coming from and their forefathers, he speaks this in the book of Psalms 106. I'll read first of all in Amplified. "Our fathers in Egypt did not understand nor appreciate your miracles. They did not remember the abundance of your mercies, nor imprint your loving kindness on their hearts." So what did they do? "But they were rebellious at the sea, at the Red Sea." Amen. Allow me to read the same verse in the Passion Translation, verse number 7. It says, "Our fathers, who were delivered from Egypt, did not fully understand your wonders." Meaning that God had done so many things with the Israelites, but these people chose not to understand what the Lord had done. "And they took you for granted." So not only forgetting or not understanding what the Lord had done, but they took God for granted over and over. "You showed them such tender love and mercy," just like us, "yet they were barely beyond the Red Sea when they rebelled against you." Now remember this, God has performed so many wonders. He has managed to take these people out of Egypt. So David is actually acknowledging that there were so many things, so many miracles that the Lord had done. But these people chose not to understand. In fact, they chose to forget. Instead, they chose to rebel against the Lord. But the Lord still showed them, day after day, showed them mercy, loving kindness. But this time that these people had rebelled before the Lord, the Bible is telling us they had barely crossed the Red Sea. Amen. Had it been that maybe they rebelled after, of course they also did, it was in their nature. But before crossing the Red Sea, they had already started looking back and saying, "We need to go back. We need to go back." Why? Because there's the Red Sea in their life. They have never seen anything, any miracle happening whilst the huge body of water was ahead of them. At least they would recount the miracles that happened in Egypt. But they had chosen to rebel. The Passion has chosen a word that is caring, they had chosen to take the Lord for granted. They didn't appreciate what the Lord had done. They didn't remember the abundance of the Lord's mercies. They chose to rebel and take God for granted. Yet they were barely after the rest. The human, that's the human nature. No matter what the Lord will do in your life.
They took God for granted. Yet they had barely crossed. This journey was going towards the fulfillment of taking them to the promised land. They were not yet in a promised land. But they chose to say, for us, we are going to rebel against the God who has taken us out of Egypt. And David is saying, these people were rebellious at this point. That's what we normally do. We normally do most of the time take God for granted. Amen. We take God for granted. Sometimes we think we can do things on our own. Sometimes we forget who is the Redeemer. Sometimes we forget who is our Savior. As if we can save ourselves. Or as if we can redeem ourselves. We can't. We don't have any power. We don't have anything. Anything that we do comes from experience. Anything that we do as human beings comes from a point where we say, I did this. Therefore, this time around, I'm going to use the same formula to do this. We were like the Israelites, rebelling against God. Yet we are barely made in life. Yet we are barely reached where God wants us to reach. Because what God is about to do with humanity, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, nor has it occurred in the mind of man. But what do? We act like the Israelites. We forget what the Lord has done. Amen. I already said that, let that amen be loud. No matter what. I say that for a reason. We normally forget.
The problem with malaria is the means you are.
Okay. We understood the human nature.
Because today you can be promised, I'll give you shoes all of you, you can't answer me. And next Sunday when I come and say, but you didn't give me sizes, yeah. You didn't give this guy sizes.
You want to understand. We usually forget.
We assume now we have many in heaven. And the Lord says, that's our nature. That's how we are made.
But anything that is happening with humanity is coming from the heart of man, the nature of the heart of man. Remember, I said, for us to appreciate this, we don't need to pray man so much. We need to understand the nature of the heart. It's because of that sin, of what happened in the Garden of Eden. Amen. So if we go to Jeremiah, chapter 17, so we can understand better now the heart of man, the nature of the heart of man, the nature of your heart. Everybody has a heart today, this morning? Your heart beating? Heart beating still there?
Yes, you are right, you're still here. Otherwise, we will be talking.
So we want to understand the nature of your heart, that thing that is giving you some boom, that thing. Jeremiah 17, verse number 19. Jeremiah 17. Did you say amen? Verse number 9 and 10. I'll read in the Amplified first. The heart is deceitful above all things. Your heart. Not only my heart, your heart as well. Your heart is deceitful above all things. And hear this. It is extremely sick, your heart.
The heart of man. Who can understand the truth and know its secret motives? Meaning your heart, all of us, the secret motives.
So you have to be careful.
Listen. I, the Lord, search and examine the mind.
I test the heart to give to each man according to his words, according to the results of his deeds.
That's what the Lord does. because he understands it. Now, let me read the same verse in this chapter, in this version that I found to be nice, so that maybe you can say loud amen. Amen.
Amen.
I want to read you the New Century Version. More than anything else, a person's mind is healed. We're talking about your heart still. And it cannot be healed. Who can understand it? But I, the Lord, look into a person's heart and test the mind. So I can decide what each one deserves. I can give each one the right payment for what he does.
Okay.
Let's give that verse. We are talking about the state of the human heart. So God says, the human heart is extremely evil, sick, and deceitful. Only God can understand it. But what God does is to pay attention to reward according to whatever deeds that come from the heart. No wonder, after God has done whatever he has done, we usually forget, because our heart, that's the next. Because our heart is sick. We can forget whatever the Lord has done. We can sing today, see what the Lord has done. Glory to God, hallelujah. But after that, we'll forget of what the Lord has done. Because the human heart is extremely evil. Amen. It only needs Jesus. And we need permission to deal with our heart as he wishes. So your heart, man, both male and female, because we are created both male and female. That's the state of our heart. We sit, we keep, and we devise secrets, and keep those secret motives within our heart. But God says, I give each heart the right payment for what he does. Let's go back to Genesis, so that we can still understand the nature of human beings, our own nature. Genesis chapter 6, verse number 5. The Lord saw the wickedness. I'm reading in that book.
The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth. Why? Because of the state of the heart of man. He's sick, he's evil, he's deceitful. So God looked down and saw the state of the heart of man. And that every imagination or intention of the thoughts of his heart were only evil continually. That's what God saw when he looked down. So he saw that human beings were wicked. And until today, we are wicked. Amen. And I tell you, we human beings, we are wicked because of the heart, the state of the heart. That everything that is coming from our thoughts is always evil. But I repeat again, the only solution is who? Jesus, the Son of God. Mark chapter 7. I want to give you these nuggets and rush through to what we are selling this morning. Mark chapter 7, verse 21. Let's quickly go there. Mark is in the New Testament. Chapter 7, verse 21. It says, from within, that is, out of the heart of man, come base and malevolent thoughts and schemes, comes acts of sexual immorality, comes acts of theft, comes acts of murders, adulteries, fornication, stealing, malice, acts of greed, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, and restrained conduct. Meaning there are some conducts that we can actually restrain ourselves. Envy, jealousy, slander, and profanity, arrogance, comes from the heart of man, and self-righteousness. Oh man, we are so good at that. Self-righteousness. Amen. and also foolishness, poor judgment. Verse 23 in the Amplified. All these evil things, all these evil schemes and desires come from within the heart of man. And these defile and dishonor the man. The man being female and male. So that's the state of the heart of man. Amen. That's the state of your heart. Are you still there? If you're still in church, we thank God. But that's the state of our heart. All these corrupt things emerge from within and will constantly defile a person. Amen. Here is a very sad reality about us as human beings, but also about us as a church. The church, not as KICC, but the church as a universal church. This is a sad reality of our contemporary church. We know very well that we are in the last days. Hello? We know that days are near and our days are numbered before the Lord comes back. We know this fact. We know this very well. But our sad reality is that the church keeps on growing increasingly cold. Remember what Jesus said in Revelation? That we need to choose and pick a side. Either being cold or hot. And there's no middle ground. There's no independent MP in the house of God. There's nothing like, I'm not taking side. Because these things, if I take side, maybe I don't know what happens tomorrow. God says, you need to pick your side. Either cold or hot. But the sad reality is, the church keeps on increasing. Increasingly and growingly cold. And we also keep on being secular. Despite knowing that the days are numbered. That's a very sad reality. And the other sad part is concerning church is that we keep on chasing numbers. We are contented and are happy if we see a large crowd like Jesus, a large multitude following us. We are not really concerned in building the little that are devoted to the Lord. Because we feel like if our church is full, then our church is growing. We lie. Because we can have a church that is full like this, but very few that really call on the name of the Lord in truth. You know the sad reality that Jesus said? That not everybody who calls me what? Lord, Lord. That's our sad reality, and the Lord help us. We don't feel like it when we see a few people in church. But the Lord is calling us to use the light metric, the light measure for our growth. Because we don't have all the day. The Son of Man is about to come. Amen. This is another painful one. Many churches, big or small churches, it doesn't matter how big the church is or how small the church is, still depends on their pastor's self-worth. That if they see their pastor around and doing good, they feel like the church is also doing what? Good. That's another sad part of it. Amen. Say amen on that one. Because if you don't say, I'm going to force you to say amen. We always depend on the number of people coming to church, on the senior pastor. Why? Because of our state of the heart. We are evil. We are deceitful. We haven't really come to tame with the Lord we call our Christ. Amen. Amen. If our church is small, in numbers or in building, we feel like our church is not big. We feel like our church hasn't grown. Brothers and sisters, it is not in the size of the building. It is not in the numbers. These are good things. But we should not base on what the Lord is doing on these things. Amen. They are not biblical metrics to measure what the Lord is doing. If the Lord is raising an army and he sees that many of you are not coming to pray, what did Jesus say? Stones are ready to worship me and raise my praise. Remember what he said when he was entering Jerusalem.
He says, keep, make them keep quiet, and says, you miss it, brothers. It is not the numbers. It is not the people. I can actually call on stones to worship me because I am the creator. So we better be careful there. And I am not saying you shouldn't come to church because you're also going to miss what the Lord is doing. But we need to understand the state of the human being. If he's not cured, it is evil, it is deceitful. The problem is that we depend and base our success on the crowd following us. The reality is that the multitudes are always fickle. They are always changing. They are always unpredictable. They can be here today and be there tomorrow. We have seen them. They are always chasing the new miracle worker in town because they are fickle. They are always changing where it seems to be hot and trendy. These are things we should be also be talking about because they are affecting our growth. They are always looking for what's hot in town. It happened with John the Baptist. Mary and Elizabeth, where our thing comes from, Luke 1, meet, and upon a greeting, the baby jumps, the baby leaps. In the Passion Translation, I like it. It says, upon your greeting, the baby danced. Oh, Jesus. The baby danced in my womb because he was happy he has met him. So John and Jesus get introduced as the mothers are shaking. But remember what happened to John the Baptist? John was born much earlier, started his ministry much earlier. He had the multitudes. He had the crowd. What happened when Jesus was introduced on the scene? The multitude followed Jesus and they left John. Why? Because the crowds and the multitudes are always changing. They are always looking for what's changing and what's trending. Even the Pharisees followed John. They went there to watch what John was teaching. Although John was considered controversial because of his message of salvation, which people didn't love and didn't like, but the Pharisees still went there. The crowd still went there. Jesus is introduced on the scene. The multitude follow Jesus. They leave John to the extent that John is actually doubting his ministry, and he sends some errand boys. He says, go and ask him. Because I'm not understanding what is happening. I had these crowds. Are you the Messiah, the one? Amen. Went to Jesus to fulfill that word. So Jesus actually increased little. But the multitude, when they were following Jesus, they followed him for several reasons. They followed him like we saw last week. They followed him following healings, following free lunch. Amen. Because at some point, Jesus was giving out free lunch. Amen. When he said, feed them. And thereafter, he performed a miracle and handed over free lunch. Free fish, free bread, without payment. Others went to Jesus to taste him. To taste him like the Pharisees and the Sadducees. In John chapter 6, verse 26. This is a quick little verse. John chapter 6, verse 26. Jesus replied, let me make this very clear. You came looking for me because I fed you by a miracle. Not because you believe in me. At this time, there were a huge multitude, a huge crowd, and Jesus said, you are so many today, I should tell you very clearly. It is because yesterday I gave you free lunch. It is not because of what I'm preaching. You haven't come because of me. So, it doesn't matter how many people are following us. It doesn't matter how many people are here with us today. They could be following us because of something they want to benefit. Jesus saw it and says, no, you are here, so many of you today, because of the food I gave you yesterday. Why would you strive for food that is perishable and not passionate to seek the food of eternal life, which never spoils? I, the Son of Man, am ready to give you what matters the most. For God the Father has destined me for this purpose. For which purpose? For the Son of Man came. Amen. He says that you may have life and have it in abundance. Now, it's clear now, so when Matthew is saying, seek ye first the kingdom of God first, not after these other things. Jesus teaches so many people. In 3 years, Jesus touched, healed, forgave, and raised so many people. Amen. But the question is, how many of these so many people that Jesus healed and fed stuck with him all the way to the cross? Amen. How many of these people that Jesus touched and healed stuck with Jesus to build the work of his kingdom? How many of them? Remember, the state of the heart of man is evil, deceitful. You know, the people that we hang around with, the crowds and the multitudes that we hang around with, they are deceitful, they are evil. Like Jesus, they will be with us today because there's something that we are giving them. Because there's something they are winning from us. They will call you Big Man Wankulu today, but tomorrow they'll find another Big Man Wankulu. Trust me. That's the nature of the human heart. It's deceitful. Amen. After healing the multitudes, after healing the crowds, count how many people helped him to carry the cross. Count how many people were with him. Including our brother, Peter. Including our brother Peter. Who actually promised and vowed the Lord, even in death, in dying, I'll die with you. You better be careful at what people promises you and tells you when you are rich and all is well with you. Because mostly, people don't mean what they say because of the state of the heart of man. Don't be deceived by the multitudes. Did you know that even Judas had a crowd? Judas, the one who sold our Lord. Matthew 26. This is for them. Matthew 26. But sometimes, like I said, we use a wrong metric to measure what God is doing amidst us. Brother Judas, if you may permit me to call him so, Brother Judas, had multitudes that came to betray Jesus with. In Matthew 26, verse 47, we read there that at that moment, Judas, his once trusted disciple, appeared along with a large crowd, amen, of men. These crowds of men were armed with swords and clubs. They had been sent to arrest Jesus by order of the ruling priests and the Jewish religious leaders. So measuring our success by the crowds is not a biblical matter. Anybody can pull crowds. Anybody can have as many people as possible. What's the motive? Amen. In Luke 23, verse number 1, we read there that the entire council stood at once and took Jesus to Pilate, the Roman governor. The entire crowd, the whole multitude of them arose and led Jesus to Pilate. After Jesus gave free lunch to the multitudes, after Jesus healed the multitudes, I am not saying the multitude that Jesus fed are the same multitude that took Jesus to Pilate. No, no, no. I am just using the crowd, the number of how many people Jesus healed, to quantify and convey this point across to you. So the same number of people that, but it is possible there, it is possible that some people that Jesus fed, some people that Jesus healed could be available in this huge crowd that was shouting, crucify him. It is very possible because the people were so many. I ate free lunch, thank God, praise the Lord, but we didn't eat Barnabas. It is very possible, it is very likely that after some people enjoyed whatever Jesus did, after all, some people followed him out of bitterness. Look at this guy. He has his whole head of pigs. And later on, and the worker goes to him and tells him, "You don't want to ask me what happened today. It is Jesus." But it is not Jesus because of a good thing. The whole head, Jesus commanded it into the sea. How would you feel? So many reasons. So they were busy shouting to him in that chapter in Luke 23, if you read, "Crucify him, crucify him." It is possible that some people who had witnessed what God had done, what Jesus had done, were also present at this hour. After all, we have seen some disciples running away from him when things got tough. Now ask yourself, where was that multitude when Jesus carried that cross? What are you wondering who helped Jesus to carry that cross all the way to the end? The pro-Jesus crowd that shouted Hosanna were not anywhere to be seen. Maybe they had abandoned their Messiah. But it was the time that the party was over. Only John, the beloved disciple of Jesus, stayed to the end. And guess what? A handful of women. That's why it's very important to strengthen the women ministry in the church. Because everything you see, you still see women doing something. You don't hear that women or men rushed to the tomb of Jesus to embalm and put some oil on the body of Jesus. It is women. Amen. Men, can you say amen on that? The problem is that the multitudes that we have, or the multitude or the crowds of friends that you have, will always seek and want for you to please them. Will always seek and look and wait for you to feed them, to take care of them, when you have everything figured out. But when calamity strikes you, there will be the same people who run away from you. Amen. It is also the multitude that never wants to learn what God is saying. Because when Jesus tells this multitude that, "Unless you eat my flesh, unless you drink my blood, you cannot have eternal life." What does the Bible say? A great multitude departed from him. The nature of the multitude is that they are not ready to be taught. They are not ready to be taught the truth. They are not ready to digest and eat the hard stuff. They always want to be pampered. "You shall be well with you. You shall prosper." That's the nature of the multitude. But why? The nature of the heart of man. So the multitude always comes. They always came to see what Jesus would perform, the next miracle. But the multitude, when Jesus was in trouble, ran away. They ran away from being committed. They ran away from prayer. The multitude. Amen. I said amen. They always run away from prayer. They always run away from being held accountable. The multitude. They always run away from being righteous. It is the multitude that said no one is righteous. But the Bible has given us a leeway. If we receive Christ, we have the grace to remain like him. May God help us. This is the word of God is speaking to us. Our theme for this year is coming from 1 Timothy 4. Let's open 1 Timothy 4 quickly. 1 Timothy 4, chapter 4, verse number 6. Pastor did a good preaching on that one. He did a good preaching on that one. I just want to read a few verses from there. Verse number 6. "But godliness actually is a source of great gain when accompanied by contentment. That is contentment which comes from a sense of inner confidence based on the sufficiency of God." I'm reading in Amplified. "For we have brought nothing into this world, so it is clear that we cannot take anything out of it." Amen. Am I reading the right scripture? It's supposed to be 2 Timothy. Is it? Oh. Chapter 4. What chapter was I reading? Because I wasn't hearing any names here. Chapter 4, verse 6, right? Where is our faith coming from? Verse 15. So I'm on the right chapter. Just hang in there. Amen. I was in chapter 6. Chapter 4, verse 6. If you point out these instructions, that's the right one. That's the verse I was looking for. If you point out these instructions to the brothers and sisters are here. We have brothers here. We have sisters. So Paul is saying to Timothy, if you point out these things, these instructions, the words we are hearing this morning, if we point them out, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus. Constantly knowledged through study on the words of faith and on the good Christian doctrine, which you have closely followed. Amen. If we point out these truths, these words to each other, the one pointing out these things, they are being good servants, being good ministers of the Lord Jesus Christ. But verse 7, reject profane and old wives' fables. Now, if you don't know what that means, go to our podcast, listen to that preaching, because he did some good beating on that one. Amen. Amen. Reject profane and old wives' fables and exercise yourself towards what? Godliness. Amen. Let's jump to verse 15. Meditate on these things, that the heart of a human being is evil, is deceitful without Christ. Meditate on these things. Give entirely yourself to them, that your progress may be what? Evident to everybody. And you should take heed to yourself and to the doctrine of Jesus Christ. Continue in them, for in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you. So you're not only doing yourself some good or other people some good, you are doing yourself much good and all of us much good. If you live in godliness. Now, I don't know how to convey this one. 2 Samuel 22. Maybe I should start reading the verse before you start throwing your Bibles at me. 2 Timothy, 2 Samuel 22, verse 26. I think it would be better if you read the verse first. I'll be safe that way. I promise you. 22, verse 26, up to 28. If you're there, say amen. We need to read this scripture together. And if you can give us that verse, thank you so much. With, this is what the Lord is saying. This is the minister of the Lord writing about God. It says, with the merciful, you show yourself what? Merciful. With a blameless man, man being male man and female man, amen, you will show yourself what? Blameless. Are you still there? Please just stay with me. I'm reading the word of God. With the pure, you will show yourself as what? Pure. That's what the Lord is saying. If you're pure, you're going to see me as a pure God. Hallelujah. Are you still here? Say amen. Say amen again. If you're merciful, the Lord is going to show yourself to you as what? Merciful. If you're blameless, the Lord is going to appear to you as what? Blameless. Okay. Verse 27. With the pure, you will show yourself pure. And with the devious, you will show yourself shrewd. Okay, thank you. That's the same version. God bless you, brother. With the devious, with those people who are cunning and naughty, the Lord will appear to you as what? Shrewd. You have unpredictable God. Who sing is a way maker, but to you, you will be the way hider. Say amen. It's just the word. And it says, you will save the humble people, but your eyes are on the naughty.
that you may bring them. Now let's read together on that one. But your eyes, church, let's read together. But your eyes are on the naughty. That you bring them what? Down. Who will bring the naughty down? Answer. Who will bring the naughty down? God. That's why I was saying, God, give me grace to convey what he's saying. Now, in this year where we are saying evident progress, in February, the month of the divine word, performance, and we shout hallelujah, I've got a word for you that the Lord sent. If you think in this 2023, you're going to play games with God, play hide and seek with God, here is your word. Say amen. Here is your word. If you feel like you're going to play hide and seek with Jehovah in 2023, I say again, here is your verse. You better memorize this verse. You better keep this verse very close to you. Because if you're naughty, the Lord is going to come and appear to you as naughty. Say amen. I already said say amen regardless of whatever God says. This verse is yours. To anybody who is naughty. To naughty kids, no, tell them. To our youth, if you keep to choose and say, this year, I'm going to be naughty and craft and shrewd. Oh, I promise you, we've got a shrewd God as well. We've got a naughty God as well. Because to the blameless, he will appear blameless. To the naughty, he's ready to show you his true colors as well. Say amen. This is the hard part of the preaching now. Oh, Jesus. Men, we have men. Hello, let me see your hands. Fellow men, can men only say amen? To naughty husbands and naughty men in the church. Amen, men, amen. To naughty men and husbands, married and unmarried, nasty husbands, because we have them. This is truth. We have nasty husbands, naughty men. Say amen now. Oh, maybe I should seek the support of the women. If you choose to be naughty and to be playing games with Jehovah in this year, he says he will watch over you, and his reason for keeping his eyes over you is not to protect you. It is not to bless you. It is to bring you down. Say amen. The fecal matitudes. We are here today. We are there today, tomorrow. We don't know where to stand. And God says, I will be humble to the one who is humble. To the one who is playing games with me, let us play games in 2023. It's going to be evident progress to others. He says, so that your progress will be evident to all. And your progress, or whether your non-progress in this year, depending on which side you choose, cold or hot, the Lord is ready to show you. I wanted to say, to show you Pepe, but I don't want to say that word. He's ready to show you according to what you choose. Ladies, wives, this word is also going to you. If you choose to be naughty, to be cunning, to be rude, and to do all those things you are good at, verse 28 is your gift. Maybe your Valentine's gift. Amen. Say amen, ladies. Unless until you choose to repent and change your words. Anybody who chooses to play games with Jehovah, God says, I am ready to show them. And I pray to the Father that he gives us grace, that we are able to choose the right things. We have heard so much word, brothers and sisters. We need to decide which side we are on. Whether on the side of God and be serious there, or on the side of the court, the side of the multitude that can follow Jesus only to benefit and eat free lunch and shout, crucify him and crucify him. The reason why sometimes we don't see the goodness of God is because of what we have decided to pursue and do. The reason why we miss what the Lord is doing amidst us is because of what we have chosen to pursue. Last week we were praying for men, and one of the prayer items was we pray that the Lord, our men will choose hobbies, will choose God-fearing friends, will choose things that will build them up as men.
Sometimes what we have chosen to invest much of our time is useless, is foolishness. It drains our oil. Like those women, the 10 virgins, remember, it drains our oil and our salt. And Jesus says, if you lose your saltiness, how else are you going to regain your saltiness? Amen. So as we finish, I want to invite you in this 2023. Maybe this message is coming to you. Maybe the Lord is speaking to you. But I'm here to plead with you by the message of our God to choose to be serious with God in 2023 and to taste what God will do, will be to you. Because he shows love, kindness to those who chooses the Son. Amen. Amen. As I proclaim the blessing upon you, I also pray that may the Lord reward you according to your deeds, according to your choice. You will choose what the Lord will do. But Paul is actually reminding us that we should pursue godliness. We should be an example to the believers, an example to our growing children, so that our evidence, our progress will be seen, will be evident. Amen. May I ask you to stand? Amen. May I ask you to stand? I don't know what the Lord has communicated to you this morning, but it feels like the Lord is calling us unto some waters so that we choose to fellowship with Him. God used to come down in the Garden of Eden, and the essence why He would come down was to commune with Adam, was to fellowship with Adam. But if you choose to allow sin to take the better part of you, you are depriving yourself some good. You are not doing yourself any good. In Psalms 42, verse number 1-2, I want us to open there before we pray. I just want to invite you to prayer. And you have the petition in your hand. I believe you have got something the Lord has spoken to you in this short time. I just want you to take it serious before the Lord. But Psalms 42, verse number 1-2 says, as the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before the Lord? And I'm here to announce you that the when is now. I invite you to appear before the Lord and make things right before the Lord. And just recommit your life before the Lord again. Amen.
May the Lord bless you and keep you. Our prayer is that God has spoken to your heart. Be blessed in this week.